welcome to the Tech Flash. If you're looking to increase your EdTech knowledge that's quick and easy to listen to, you have come to the right place. Let's join our host, Josh, and see what today's episode is all about.
Hello and welcome to the Tech Flush. We got another big one, and I feel like, Jason, I'm a broken record on that. I say that every time. I really have got to change how I talk, but it's a big show. I feel like you're here, I'm here, we're ready. Are you ready?
Ready as I'm going to be, Josh.
There we go. So listen, we got episode number 39. We're like getting close to 40. Mm-hmm. Whoever would have thought this show would have made it to almost 40 episodes? It's incredible. So listen, Jason, we got Jason Viviano on here, another innovation specialist, one of the newest members. You know, we had Betsy on a couple weeks ago, and so now we're getting you there, right? Mm-hmm. I know we're a little nervous. We got the recording going, all those kind of fun things. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it different when you're recording versus not recording.
A little bit.
And those conversations, yeah. Right? All right. Well, cool. Well, let's go ahead and get started. So, Jason, go ahead and give us kind of a brief update, kind of history of things you've done in technology, and then really how you fit into Broward County Schools as far as in education.
Well, I guess it started back before I started teaching. I worked in audio and video production, working for a local ministry, and was the video coordinator with them, and did a lot of working with cameras and sound equipment and everything, and did a lot of traveling. Got to travel around the world.
Yeah.
And produced a television program, weekly TV program, and a radio program as well.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So, and I was the behind the scenes person.
Yeah.
I was not in front of the camera or in front of the microphone, kind of like I am now. So I'm a behind the scenes guy.
Yeah, I love it. That's like people always say, you know, you've got a face for radio or a face for things. And that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. So in addition to, you know, doing that, prior to that, I actually worked at Lee University for a couple years doing their video coordinating as well, kind of helping with a lot of the video projects and things on campus.
Yeah.
And with students after I got done with the ministry, then I started teaching. Got a job at Lake Forest.
Okay.
In the STEM program. Well, actually, it wasn't called STEM at the time. It was Modular Technology. And so that's kind of where I got my start and stayed there for about 20 years.
Oh, wow, man. So that means all the things here in the studio, like before we talked, I mean, I'm giving you the input of like how to do all these, and I forget you already know all these things. Or like this has been your life, maybe not the specifics of the studio, but you know all those things.
A lot of those things. Because when I was in, you know, when I was still kind of really heavily into it, it was still the analog. You know, now everything is very digital.
Yeah.
You got everything there on your screen and you know, real nice. And you know, all mine was all dials and things. It was just very analog.
Man, I don't know if I could have survived that. I love looking at the screen, seeing all the things that are happening, see the wavelength. Mm-hmm. It just makes me feel special. So, all right, man, cool. And I think that's awesome that you've got such a rich background in the AV. And then I see now being at Lake Forest for 20 years, teaching the STEM program there, being computer science, all those fun things. Mm-hmm. And I can even remember I was with Colby Burris one time. We came into Lake Forest, and he showed me around your space. Mm-hmm. You had an awesome setup there between the morning show that you had. Or did you call it a morning show, or I guess the Lake Forest show? Or
Den Daily News.
There we go. Yeah. So that was an awesome setup. I wish more people could see that. Just it was an incredible space, especially being in a new building. They really built that out really nice.
That was a blessing, yes, to be in a new building. Because where we were prior to that, yeah, it was just a little kind of area in my classroom. Everything was kind of shoved in, you know, but we just had to make use with what we had.
Yeah.
And it was good, but we were very blessed to have our new building and you know, to be in that for the last several years.
Yeah, and then even going through the rest of your room, you were set up for really nicely for STEM and all those, you know, whether it's robots, mechanical things, mm-hmm. little coding robots. I think you even had some drone stuff going in there, just all kinds mm-hmm. of fun things that really I have no idea about. Yeah. And, you know, we're going to eventually get this conversation about STEM and those type of things that we're doing in our district. But my idea of STEM, Jason, and I told you this before we started recording today, is very minimal. I think about mm-hmm. STEM as more of hands-on activities, more of things that we're doing in our schools of, you know, the building-wise or project-based. But really, STEM is much broader than that.
Yeah, STEM, I think, and to be honest with you, that's kind of where my where I kind of thought STEM was too. It was just all just a it's just building projects and stuff like that. Which, you know, when it first started, when I first started at you know, Lake Forest and in this field, that's kind of where it was. Now it has kind of grown into this into really a mindset, and you know, to where STEM is not just a class. It's not just a class that you can take in school where you go in there and you can do projects and stuff like that. Now STEM is being embedded into normal classes. I mean, like your English and your math and social studies and science, all those are going to have a STEM component to it. And so you can incorporate real world solutions and see how what you're learning in your math class and English class, how you can incorporate these concepts into the real world.
Yeah, because even, you know, I've got a couple schools that I'm at now that are going through either a recertification or they're going through that certification the first time to become STEM certified. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing that I tell them, even though I'm not up to speed on a lot of things, but the biggest thing I tell them, and it's a school culture movement.
Yes.
Whether you're like your math, you're doing something in math and you're pulling data from your science classes mm-hmm. or your English classes and vice versa. There's just so many things that we tend to go back to this idea of it's in one classroom, it's in our mm-hmm. computer lab classes or our apps classes or whatever that may be, mm-hmm. and it just stays there. But really, it's across the board now.
You've got to have buy-in from your whole staff, from the top down. I mean, you got to have the total buy-in of this, you know, this STEM mindset. And so we, you know, when I was at Lake Forest, you know, we went through this process last year and got our STEAM designation. And so it was a couple year process because, you know, at first you struggled a little bit. And, you know, I'll be honest, myself, you know, I did too, because I taught the STEM class and I thought, hey, well, I guess I got to do it all. You know, but I had to get that out of my mind that, no, this is not just my class. This is every, you know, everyone needs to buy into this. And so, and it helped that, you know, our leadership was supportive of that and everything. And so then once we did start to get that buy-in from the rest of the staff and everything, then everything kind of started, you know, falling into place. And we were blessed to be able to get our STEAM designation last year.
Yeah, and especially thinking about buy-in, I think sometimes as classroom teachers, it's not a bad thing, but sometimes we get stuck in our own little world, mm-hmm. even though we know there's a bigger world that we're in a building with other teachers, other grade levels, and sometimes we get stuck in that. And so mm-hmm. you saying, you know, it's really a buy-in, that's huge. I think that's mm-hmm. the biggest step is everybody understanding that it's just not me. It's everybody doing something and tying that in across grade levels, curriculum, however that may look, or community leaders coming in and out. You've got people mm-hmm. coming in. There's just more than what we initially think to becoming just STEM in general, and then also becoming STEM certified or STEAM certified in our schools.
Yeah, and one thing that I'm realizing, you know, I've been in middle school for 20 years, that I'm now in this position of innovation specialist. I'm getting this other viewpoint being in elementary schools and yeah. really understanding a little better of kind of what their day is like. And how much, you know, their day is very full.
Oh, my goodness. But, like, you have no, like, you know, we both were in middle school for a long time. Yeah. And, you know, we had an hour and a half of planning. Mm-hmm. And you had plenty of time to get stuff done or yeah. go to the bathroom, get copies. And then elementary world mm-hmm. is like you have 2 minutes to talk to them yeah. and then they're gone. It's just it's a different mindset that we just not everybody understands.
Yeah, I try not to mention that when I'm at the elementary school that I was in middle school because, you know. But yeah, and for them, I think what's important, especially going through the STEM and STEAM designation process, where it could feel very overwhelming, is for them to understand, yes, your plate is very full. However, to do the things that they would need to do to fulfill the STEM and STEAM requirements for designation, really, I mean, they're doing a lot of this stuff already in their classes.
Yeah.
It is just knowing how to phrase things maybe a little bit different, or maybe we need to, you know, add, maybe tweak something, you know, a lesson or something, or add a little something here and there, and they're fine. It's not like this huge, you know, change they have to go through.
Yeah, and even I think about, you know, you're at Taylor Elementary now, and, you know, I was there last year, and one of the things they started was they have a weather station. They bought like a mini, I don't even know what it's called, but like a mini weather thing. And so even spending something like that, now all the grades can use it. They can pull that data in, and now you've got more of your math part of it, mm-hmm. and then you can also do your science. Or your social studies, or, mm-hmm. you know, even your English stuff in there. Mm-hmm. So even just small technical things that you can buy, mm-hmm. can really go a long ways versus having to buy a ton of things to say, hey, now we can do the STEM things.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that about how, you know, they would have to, you know, to buy all these resources. I mean, where are they going to get all the money for, you know, to buy all these STEM resources? You know, I mean, some schools are very blessed and they are able to write lots of grants and able to have lots of great partnerships with industry and community partners, and have been able to get a lot of materials and STEM equipment in to use in their classes. But what about those other schools that, you know, maybe don't have all that? Well, we've got a new initiative.
Yes, let's hear it.
That has started. Yes, I just figure we'll just kind of say,
yeah, let's bring it, man. Come on, that was a good segue to talk about it.
Yeah. So we've got a under the leadership of our boss, Scott Webb.
There we go. Big shout out, Scott Webb.
Yeah, we have started a STEM hub. If you guys are familiar, I mean, they have STEM hubs kind of around Tennessee, around the country, I guess.
And our big ones, we've got one in Chattanooga.
And where teachers can request equipment, and they would go there and be able to check those things out, bring them back to their classrooms and use them. Well, we now have a lending library or STEM hub right here in Bradley County Schools. So we are super excited about this. I've been working really hard, as well as the rest of our team, in trying to get all this equipment in. We have just about everything. Got a few things that are still on back order that are should be here hopefully within the next few weeks. But we have got, you know, a lot of really awesome resources for teachers to be able to use in their classes.
Yeah, so now by having this lending library of robots, programs, and things of that, so now we've started at, you know, it's a buy-in, it's a culture thing, understanding that we can stretch the STEAM idea throughout all of our building and our contents, to now we're building it to where now we can check things out to further development of things, right? And I think about just normal things like coding. We can go to a website, we can practice our coding, we can see little robot move, and we can practice that in a virtual world. Mm-hmm. But now with this lending library, they can actually go check things out, and they can see that in real life that it's happening instead of just on their computer screens.
That's right. And we're going to have resources to do just that, and for K through 12. I mean, any teacher can check out any of these, you know, any of this equipment. Some of it is going to be geared more for the littles, like K-1. We've got some Lego education products. They even have a Coding Express, which is like a little train, and things that you can actually go onto an iPad and you can get it to move.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very simple. However, you are starting to teach them some of those computer science skills.
Yeah.
Right there. And elementary teachers, I think, wondered at first, you know, and some of them may still be wondering, you know, how in the world are we going to incorporate, you know, computer science into our classes? Well, this is a perfect way to do that. Borrow some of these some of this equipment.
Think especially with those computer science things, some of them are very basic on, you know, turning a computer on, checking your Wi-Fi, knowing mm-hmm. just the basic things we do on a daily basis. But especially as they get older, we want to see that more of those things, like your Lego train and being able to code that to make it move. Now you're going from just the basic foundations of it to more of real life applicability of mm-hmm. it. And I think that's huge because a lot of these, you know, we talk about like AI and how many jobs it's losing, but then again, how many jobs it's recreating because of things. Mm-hmm. And so even with our robots and things that we're using, there's going to be tons of jobs out there that they're this information they're learning now, especially as our littles in elementary, that they're going to be able to see that in middle school. They're going to see that in high school and transition to the real world. And even thinking, you know, my dad worked in just up the road in Athens at a factory called Denso. And they transitioned lots of times to more of robot-based things that would make their parts and mm-hmm. do things. And I worked there for a summer. My dad worked there. So I was able to walk around at a little bit, and he would show me some things. And it was really neat to watch these robots with arms moving pieces. And there's a guy that's just standing there that understands the coding behind it. So if something went wrong, he could pull his computer up, type some buttons, and fix it to go. And so having these opportunities for not just teachers to showcase their students, but students to be able to see that and just understand how it works to maybe spark some things.
Yeah, and it's funny you mention Denso and mention the, you know, the robotic arms and everything. It's actually one of the last pieces that I got in just the other day and put together was a it's called a CTE work cell. It's done by Vex Robotics, and it's a miniature automated manufacturing line, and it has a 6-axis robotic arm and has a conveyor belt and several motors, has lots of pneumatics going on, and it's exactly what they a very small version of what they use at Denso.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Mr. Keelan here at the Pi Center, and in his classroom, again, he has those machines. Actually brought up the work cell to him, and he had one of his students go in and actually code it. And so he's already got it ready for me to do do a little test.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Especially, again, going back to the idea of starting with our littles and building it. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing high school kids that can just see it. You know, high school experience with a robotics arm, understanding how it works, and you bring a new one to them, and they're like, oh, yeah, I can do this. Let me push some buttons, and now it works. I think that's just incredible. Yeah. And we think about the trajectory of these kids and what they're going to do in the workforce. Mm-hmm. It's unreal to think about, especially here in Bradley County, where we've started, where it was a couple schools getting STEM certified, working on projects, and then understanding to build that up to other things.
Our goal, of course, is for all schools. You know, eventually all schools in Bradley County, and I know this is going to happen, you know, we'll all be either STEM or STEAM certified. And I don't know if I don't think it's a thing yet, but I'm sure TSUN eventually they're going to have where you can become a STEAM or STEM district.
Yeah.
You know, and we're well on our way.
Oh, yeah, we're doing some incredible things here, and you talk about just the things we're doing as a department to support the district in our new lending library. We're going to keep seeing things increase, and we're going to see further development of our student.
Yeah, and hopefully we got lots of folks that listen to this podcast, so we've got a test drive actually coming up. And that's going to be an opportunity for all teachers, administrators, whoever wants to come check out this equipment that we got. And so get some hands-on experience with it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about that date. Now, especially with all the things that we're purchasing, Jason, and we're doing that, we also have here in Bradley County our STEM bus, which is, I think, is a huge asset to what we're doing. Talk to us a little about the STEM bus and what that kind of additional things that offers to our schools.
Great addition to our county and our resources last year when we got that started. I was kind of involved in the beginning parts of that, trying to help get the equipment and things on the bus and the things that would be taken off of the bus, I guess, into classrooms. Again, it's a way to help schools and class of teachers that maybe don't have all these resources available to them on a daily basis, a way to get those resources to them. So it is a great tool. However, the reason why we're investing in this STEM hub is because the STEM bus, as awesome as it is, can only be at a school normally for about a week. And in that time, you know, you hope to be able to, as a teacher, you hope to be able to take your class there maybe for, a couple hours, or be able to use some of that equipment. But then in that week's time, it pulls away and, you know, has to go to another school.
Yeah. So that makes it really tough to really be invested into all things STEM. Mm-hmm. And just being able to use that on a consistent basis. So this is really where our lending library comes in.
Yes.
And in addition to the bus, just being able to support them all year instead of just for a week at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see this STEM hub growing. I would love to see some of our community partners and industry really see the benefit of it and invest in it so we can put more resources in the hands of teachers to enrich our students. So I just really can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. Now listen, I don't know how much you listen to the show, Jason. Not to put you on the spot, you don't have to answer it, it's fine. But it's time in the show, and we have not talked about this. Do you know what's coming?
I do not.
Yes, I love it. I love it when people don't know. So Jason, it is time for the Tech Flush tip of the day. Right now, I know we're very fortunate here in Bradley County Schools to have our STEM bus. We're very fortunate to have this new initiative for lending library. But let's say that we're in a district that doesn't have these resources, right? Because I'm sure there's tons of schools out there that are not as fortunate as we are at this current moment. What is the biggest piece of advice that you can give to them as far as just STEM in general? And what can they really do if they don't have access to the things that we do?
I guess that's a good question, Josh.
I know. This is why I love the Tech Flush tip of the day.
Maybe one of those that I may need to think about.
It's the hidden gem.
Well, I guess when I didn't have all the resources when I first started, it is... You know, I tried to reach out as much as I could to other teachers, tried to even reach outside of my school to other schools, do some research on programs that were really working and were very successful, and try to pick the brains of those teachers. And, you know, and you never know where those relationships that you build from, you know, the teachers that you talk to. A teacher may get you in contact with someone else who gets you in contact with a community partner or somebody that would be able to invest in your class or talk to you about some grants. Maybe you get in touch with your local education foundation and they can help you, you know, just things like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think, you know, if you don't have access to those things, I think, you know, you've got the internet, you've got mm-hmm. Google,
yeah.
And you can look up some low tech ideas for your schools.
Mm-hmm.
Whether, you know, I've seen some teachers with like coding, mm-hmm. you know, you may not be able to go to a computer and do some block coding, but you can go in there and you can make your little pieces of paper
mm-hmm.
that, hey, here's your steps. How would you make this robot move based off these steps?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you've got, I don't know, there's all, you can make airplanes and talk about the things you're doing with that out of paper. You don't necessarily have to have all the equipment.
Oh, no, definitely. Yeah, and I did that for years. And you know, I'm still, that's probably one of my favorite things to do in STEM class is a lot of the paper products.
Yeah.
Paper projects. Yeah, they're simple, they're effective, and they're cheap.
Yes. And even, you know, you hit on grants. I know we're very fortunate to have the Bradley Public Education Foundation
mm-hmm.
that supports here us in Bradley County. And they always come at the beginning of the year throughout the building. If you see them, hey, it's time to put your grants in. We've got money if we want. They want to give the money out.
Mm-hmm.
You've got enough partners in your communities that want to be involved in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it just comes to asking.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes, especially for me when I first started in education, I'm not going to ask. Like, they're just going to tell me no. But you really have to get over that mindset because, yes, they may tell you no, but there's going to be people that say, yes, I want to do this. I'm going to donate this. It's almost like, you know, I've Donors Choose is huge because you can go in there, you can set up what you need. And I've gotten some things for podcasting because of that. Mm-hmm. And you think, man, no one's ever going to fund this little podcasting thing. But people want to see you successful with our future that's coming out because really we're building that future.
Yeah. And yeah, I have used all of those Donors Choose and try to find as many opportunities as I could to you know, get grants and just to get even small things in the class, you know, and that kind of led to some bigger grants. So all of those are awesome.
Yeah, and once you start in one place, you know, you may write a grant for this year that gets you, I don't know, 4 BBots, and you're slowly building that. But the next year, you're writing another grant, and you get 4 more. So now you've got a total of 8, and you're continuing to build. And it's just that you got to keep remembering that you're building slowly to get to where you need to be. And I think sometimes we get stuck in that. Well, I can't do it. I can't get these things now. But if we can just get little things, and then you're going to continue to build, then it's going to be awesome, and the possibilities out there, especially in the world of education, are just endless in the things that we can get.
That's right.
Well, cool. Awesome. Well, Jason, I hope you have enjoyed your time on the Tech Flush.
I will never forget this.
Man, you even got a sticker today.
I did.
That's right. Listen, when you guys come on the show, most people don't talk about it, but you get a free sticker for being on the show, which is awesome. So Jason, before we start signing out, tell us, how can we follow you? I think you're on the Twitter, the X, right?
I think I'm on there somewhere. I need to
listen, we'll get Jason's out there. You can follow him somewhere on Twitter. You know, there's this new thing out here called Blue Sky, Blue App.
Never heard of it.
It's like Twitter. It looks just like Twitter.
Huh.
But it's different. I don't know. But listen, it was awesome having you on here. This is episode number 39. We'll have to get you back on here again, maybe.
All right.
If you want to.
Yeah.
We'll just see, right?
We'll see.
There we go. Now listen, remember, you can follow me at Josh_Morris65. You can go to our BCS Technology website. All our people in technology are pushing out some articles, podcasts, all that kind of fun things for you can watch and listen to. I think that's about it, wrapping it up for the day. Jason, any last words to talk about STEM, anything?
I think we about said it all, Josh.
There we go, man. I'm excited. Thanks again, Jason, for coming on. And for all you flushers out there, I hope you've enjoyed episode number 39. Hope you have a good one. See you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Tech Flush podcast. Stay tech savvy, keep those gadgets charged, and remember, teachers and technology go hand in hand, connecting students to a world of knowledge for an electrifying learning experience. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and spread the word about the Tech Flush to your friends. Catch all episodes on Apple Podcasts. See you next time on the Tech Flush.